So, Heidi Parsha, Ma'ori Nayim, many, many beautiful subjects, but we'll focus on just two of them. And again, these are themes that recur again and again, the Ma'ori Nayim. One theme is the theme of the Neshamais HaNefulais, the fallen souls that the tzaddik is supposed to discover and elevate. And the beginning of the parasha, the Ma'ori Nayim, identifies one of them as being Yishmael. And by Yishmael it says, in the end of last week's parasha, Al Pnei Kol Echov Nafol, he fell on the face of all his brothers. What that means really is, he is the Sod Ava HaNefula. And Yishmael represents wanton love. Yishmael, remember when the Torah is given, Hashem offers the Torah to Yishmael. They say, we can't take it because it says in the Torah, Lo Sinaf, you should not commit immorality, adultery, incest, and we believe in free love. So Yishmael believes in love, but unbridled love. And he is called Ava Nafula. He is called love, which has gone too far and fallen out of grace, undisciplined love. And it's Avram's task to elevate the Nafal. And of course you have the word Nafal, you have the word Nafal. Nafal means a stillborn child, a premature child, a stillborn child. It's love that has not reached full fruition. Love has to be mature love. Avram is mature love. Yishmael is immature love, it is Nathan love, it is dead, the love that is born too early, so to speak, and comes to fruition, it's not given time to mature and develop. It's just flesh love rather than an emotional bond, a relationship. It's not love of a relationship. So, that's the beginning of the parasha. Again, there's a theme that the Ma'ori Nayim repeats again and again. So Yishmael is called Ahava Nefula, and whenever a person is seized by a yearning, by a lust for a love of the flesh which is inappropriate, the person has to interpret this impulse as being bait from Hashem to say, listen, everybody likes to love. Everyone loves love. Everyone loves passion and lust, but don't squander it on the pleasures of the flesh. I'm just reminding you that men have flesh and they're supposed to love. Angels don't. But use your love, go to the source, which is to love Hashem. It can be done. In other words, if you just don't give in to the initial impulse to follow the Ahava Nefula, you can lift it up to its source, which is Hashem, and use it to have a more intense relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because energy follows thought. And what you think is where your energy goes. So instead of squandering and wasting your energy on a lowly love, use it for the ultimate, the highest, which is love for Hashem. Later on in the parsha, the Ma'ori Nayim says, this is one of, I think, his classic pieces, he brings down from the Kisvei Arizal in Likutei Torah that David says Yitzchak ohavis Esav ki tzayid v'fiv. He loves Esav because he's a hunter in his mouth. And of course Rashi says the Pashut Pshat is that he would hunt his father. He wanted to ensnare and trap his father with words that would beguile him by saying to Tati, do you give miser from tevin, from straw? Do you give miser from straw? Now everyone knows you don't give miser from straw. Straw is not a fruit, it's not a grain. Straw is worthless waste. But Esav, the simple pshat as Rashi is, he wanted to ensnare his father to think he's a tzaddik, so he asked these kinds of very righteous questions. But the Arizal says, listen to this, that indeed there's much deeper pshat over here. Like everything in Torah is much deeper. And truth is that Esav was a hunter. And he did manage to snare something very good in his mouth. He snared neshamas, holy souls. This is a yisayid, always a yisayid in Hasidus, that in Kabbalah, that great people, and Esau was a great man. His head was great. The rest of his body was coarse, but his head was great. In his mouth, Bepiv, he had ensnared great souls, a soul no less of a stature than Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's soul, which wasn't to come out into the world till 2,000 years later maybe, was already in the mouth of Esav. So when Yitzchak was, what enamored Yitzchak of Esav, although he knew he's an idol worshiper, was, he says, I cannot thoroughly throw him away, because there are some sparks of holy souls inside this Esav, son of mine, which, you know, Rabbi Akiva was the son of Geir. His father was Yosef, was a Geir. So Rabbi Akiva is a perfect example of a great soul that was lost amongst the Goyim. And it started with Esav. What exactly that means, I'm not sure. It means Esav brought it down to this world, perhaps. But somehow, the soul of Rabbi Akiva was attached to Esav. And that's what means Sayyid Bepiv. In his mouth, he managed to capture Rabbi Akiva. That's what enticed him. Shmer de Gazach. But he was in the head of Esav. Remember, Esav's head was great, because his head eventually gets chopped off and gets buried in the Maris Mahfela. It's his body which is an animal and a beast. Now, the Mori Naim continues on this Mahalach and says, listen to this shot, it's such an awesome shot. He says, therefore, when Esav says, do you give Maaser from straw, that really is in consonance with what the Rizal says, that Neshama of Rabbi Akiva is Nesav. Because in all of Jewish history, there's only one person we know, at least in Tanakh, in Chazal, who gave Maaser from straw. And that was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gave Tzedakah from straw. Because you have the famous story of Rabbi Akiva living in his little hovel with Rachel. And he was feeling a little bit, or his wife was feeling pretty poor, and she came from a very wealthy family, super wealthy. And now she's laying on straw, no more sealy posturpedics. So they're banished on the Chas de Betuvo. Not only does he supply people with what they need physically, he even sends them emotional support. And Eliyahu Navi comes in the guise of a poor man and knocks Rabbi Akiva's door and says, hello, my wife just gave birth and we're so poor we don't even have straw and we're laying on a bare floor. Do you think you might be able to spare a little straw for us so my wife, the newborn mother, can be able to kimpator, can have some straw to lay down on? Rabbi Akiva says, straw? We got plenty of that. Here's some straw. So Rabbi Akiva gave tzedakah from straw. Says Marzik. So it fits in with that Rizal, says the Mori Naim. That's the pshat there. Rabbi Akiva was talking in the mouth of Esav, and the words of Esav, there's, where did Esav get these words from? Where did Esav even think about Maaser? It's like Osama bin Laden talking about Maaser. It's not in his vocabulary. What are you talking Maaser for? Adolf Hitler's going to talk about Maaser. The Teretz is, no, that since he had the neshama of Rabbi Akiva inside of himself, there was straw. But it gets even better, because says that the Mori Naim, again, Lishitaso, that every member, that every week, I'm telling you the Mori Naim, it's essentially the same concept, the same MS, but he just puts it into every parsha. So the other great yisur of the Mori Naim is that everything in the Torah is the letters of the Torah, and every tikkun you want to make, every improvement in the world has to go through the oisius of the Torah. So it says in the pasuk, v'hoya beis Yaakov le'esh, u'beis Yosef le'hova, u'beis Esav le'kash. It says the pasuk, right? The pasuk in Avadya. Avadya, you know, was a ger too. Avadya was a ger adomi. Avadya was a descendant of Esav. Avadya is one of the books of Tanakh. And Avadya there says, he predicts the final downfall of Esav. And he says in the future, Beis Yisrael will be a fire. Beis Yaakov will be an Esh. Beis Yosef, the son of Yaakov, will be like a flame going out of the fire. A fire is stationary, a flame is a burst of fire, a flame, and Esav will be like dry straw, and they'll just poof, go up in fire. How will we be able to make that happen? So the way we do that is by doing a mitzvah, and the mitzvah reorganizes the letters of Lakash. Lakash is for straw. And backwards, Lakash backwards spell, Lamed Kuf Shin backwards, the Shin Kuf Lam, which is Shekel. So by Yidden giving Shkolim to the Beis HaMikdash, which of course is always in preparation for Purim, which is again an Esav holiday with Haman, so by doing the Machza Shekel, the Shekel transforms the Lakash, our Shekel, the schuz of our Shekel, they become Lakash. Because we have the letters the right way, and therefore they're the other way. And therefore our Shekel makes him Lakash, makes him into straw, and he gets burnt up. And of course Chazal say that Moshe couldn't comprehend the Shekel at first, and Hashem showed him a Shekel Shalesh. Hashem showed him a fiery Shekel. So again, that alludes to the idea of the fire that goes against Lakash, straw, comes from the Shekel. Rearranging the letters. Azur Shteta. Valtik. But he says, the way to do it, says the Morinayim, is you can't give a cold coin. You have to have the Slahavas. You have to have a fire in the Master Shekel. You have to give it with fire. And the fire that we put into the Shekel is the fire that becomes the flame, which destroys the Kash of Esav. It's all here. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And everything that's changed is always changed with changes in letters. Again, everything I tell you is mamish, just a drop of the bucket of Oshteita on the Morinayim. But that, my friends, is just a little smorgasbord. And now we'll get to the main course of the Morinayim Shir tonight. And another Yisayid, which is even deeper. And we've touched upon this in the past, but it's always worth repeating. So the Morinayim shtells on the opening words of the Parsha. The Parsha begins, right, Parsha told us, Ve'ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham olidas Yitzchak. It's very redundant. And these are the toldos, these are the children, the offspring. Toldos can also mean the history of Yitzchak ben Avraham, Yitzchak the son of Avraham. Avraham holidas Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. We'll go back into a deeper discussion of these words. But why do we have it here? Everybody knows Avraham holidas Yitzchak. What's it saying over here? But we know this is old hat already. Come on. Who doesn't know that Yitzchak has been Avraham? And who doesn't know that Avraham holidas Yitzchak? Obviously, if Yitzchak's the son of Avraham, then Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak. So what is the meaning of this? Every word of the Torah is precious. What's the repetition? So the Morinayim says that this is again, everything in the Torah is deeper and deeper and deeper. We are not talking genealogy here. We're not talking family trees over here. We are talking concepts, Torah concepts, great concepts. Because it says in the beginning of the Torah, it says in Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet. In Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet, it says, "Vazoy, Eila toldos, Hashemayim v'aretz biyibaram, biyom asos adonai lehim eretz v'shamayim." But let's look at the first part of the pasuk. Eila toldos, again toldos, and here toldos cannot mean children. Toldos means the outgrowth. The toldos means the expansion, the development of heaven and earth. Biyibaram. Ahibaram, as we've learned this many times, the Medrash says, Hibaram is the letters of Avraham. Is Avraham. Hibaram simply means at the time of creation, but Hey, Beis, Reish, Aleph, Mem, transposed, spells Avraham. To teach you that God created heaven and earth for Avraham. And there couldn't be a heaven and earth without Avraham. But again, you have the word toldos over here. And Rashi says, B'yom asos Hashem alakim eretz shamayim. So we have two different names of God here, Hashem and Elohim. And Hashem is God, the God of kindness and mercy. And Elohim is the God, the strict God of justice and discipline. So Rashi says, but he actually says earlier. Earlier on Rashi says that originally it says Bereishis Bara Elohim. You with me? The Torah begins Bereishis Bara Elohim. As a Shemayim Vesaret. It doesn't say Hashem, it says Elohim. Elohim is Midas Adin. That's the first pasuk. Here it says, Eila told us Shemayim Vesaret Bibaram, B'yom Asos Adonai Elohim Eretz Shemayim. Here it says Hashem's name before Elohim. So what's going on over here? In the Torah, first it says Bereishis Bara Elohim. And here, where the Torah is like recapping, it says, told us the Yom Asos Hashem Elohim. It says Hashem first. So Rashi addresses the problem. And Rashi says, because it doesn't say Hashem, because B'tchil Olabam Shav Olabrayis B'midas Adin. Originally Hashem wanted to make the world Tak Elohim, Midas Adin, strict justice. B'rosh and Olam Eskayim. Hashem said the world couldn't survive on strict justice. Hik the Midas Rachman, the Shitful Midas Adin, God, ere the Rachman to Din. And that's why it says later on, that's why later on it says in Perek Beis Pasuk Dal, which I read you. So the first brother says Bereishis Bara Elohim. Later it says Hashem Elohim, because God wanted to make the world Elohim real tough, but the world can't survive like that. So Hashem says, we'll precede Hashem first, and then the world can survive with some mercy. So I'm going to be real strict and tough. No one's going to last. No one's going to last. Comes along the Helig Moinayim, explains what this means. He says, again, this is why I am rehashing it for you. Really, we know the world is made for chesed. How can you say that God wanted to make the world with din? Because it says, Olam chesed yibana. The world is created for chesed. The whole world is created for chesed. We know that God, why did God create the world anyway? Can you tell me what the purpose of your existence is, Mr. Nassan HaKayin Munk? Why does God waste his time on people like you and me? Well, they have nothing bad to do in the cosmic scheme. What did he need us for, us little mere mortals? It's because God wanted to do chesed. God wanted to give and improve us and give us more light and more bracha and more shefa and more all the good things. So the world is made for chesed. So how can you possibly say that the world is made with midas din? How can you say that God made the world midas din? That was the original idea. He didn't want to make din. God doesn't need us for din. God needs us because he wants to give us what we don't even deserve. He wants to give us free gifts. He loves giving us things like you want to give to your children things. You don't deserve it necessarily. You want to give. So what do you mean God originally wanted to make the world din and then he changed his mind and put chesed first? So the answer is, says the Maranayim, this is vintage Maranayim, is that din is the biggest chesed. The biggest chesed is taka din. And really the mashal really is taka this vort. The reason why din is the biggest chesed is because without din there is no chesed. That's the alti yisai. Without din there is no chesed. Because taka like of Shmuel over here. Mashiach's looking at me. He wants to give all the good things to his son. The only problem is he knows that if he's going to give his son all the good things if he give his son the good things without any discipline, he will spoil his son rotten, and he'll pamper this child, and he'll be ruined, and he'll be no good. So everybody knows that too much love is not good. Too much love is really hate. And too much light is really darkness. So if the sun's bright as it is, if the sun would be a few degrees brighter, we'd all be blind. So we all know that the biggest chesed is to cool it. And if someone's going to give you all the heat I need in this room here, I'm going to suffocate from heat. The winter, big problem with these really hot rooms. So if you make a real hot room without doing me a taiva, and if you cook up my soup to be 200, if you cook it up to 300 degrees, I'll burn myself on it. So too much heat and too much light and too much love is not good. So really, says the Maranayim, the biggest chesed is din. Din is chesed. Din is chesed. So when it said the Rebbeinu originally wanted to make the world with Midas HaDin, There's no stira between the two statements. Hashem Taka wanted to make the world with din, because din means he wanted to have a world that's well adjusted. He didn't want a hefker world. He had a world with adjustment. A din means tzimtzum. Din means that Hashem is custom tailoring everything. So someone loves, no, Rabbi Foyer, you know, I love you very much. I want to make you a new hat. So here, but I love you so much, I don't want this little flimsy size 7 1/8. I'm going to give you a size 15 hat. Why don't you give you a 20 gallon hat? I'll give you a 40 gallon hat. Why don't you give you a size 10 shoe? I love you, I'll give you a size 20 shoe. Is he doing me a favor, give me a size 20 shoe? Absolutely not. Meshiga, if I wear a size 20 shoe, I'll have no shoes. They'll fall off, or I'll get blisters. If he gives me a size 15 hat, it'll be over my eyes, and who knows, it'll go over my mouth also. So you can't just say, the more I love you, the more I give you. Giving more, more is less. Less is more, more is less. So therefore, there's mamash no contradiction in two Rashi says, the more I know him. The Rabbi don't want to make the world midas adin. But he saw it can't work with midas adin. So he had to make midas, it was mishatav it to midas arachman. Says the more that really means the same thing. That din and rachman wanted the same thing. You just have to look at them as partners. Taka, rachman comes first. And din comes first, because din is rachman. So when it says bereishis bara elokim, what's the one bereishis? It says elokim, because elokim is din. But din is the biggest rachman, because din means God made a custom tailored world that's exactly what we need, not too little and not too much. And that's the pshat. Hashem is meshatif. Means the din. Means the rachman. Means rachman is din, because rachman without din is nothing, and din without rachman is nothing. Each one is impossible. And therefore, he says, that is really the pshat in Eila Toilos, that's like the pshat in Heidegger Parsha. In Chayr, it sounds like it's totally redundant. In Chayr, it's Eila Toilos Yitzchak ben Avram. Okay, so if you know that, Yitzchak the son of Avram. You have to see Avram, Hoyleres Yitzchak. We know that. The Teretz is, Avram is Rachman. And Yitzchak is Din. And Avram Elias means that because really Hashem wants Avram. Avram comes first. Oylam Chesed Yibana. But because Chesed cannot exist without Yitzchak, so it had to be Avram Elias Yitzchak. What the Pasuk is telling us, this is a not chronological Pasuk. This Pasuk can only be understood in the context of Rashi has another pshat. Rashi says, Avram is Yitzchak, that Hashem made it, Yitzchak looks like Avram. That people shouldn't say, it's from Avimelech, that's the lowest level of pshat. You see, there's pshat, and there's talk of remage and drash, and so. This is a perfect example. I'll be simple pshat. Avram Elias Yitzchak means, what's it teaching us? That it was, there was edus, there was testimony, says Rashi, on Yitzchak's face, that Avram Elias Yitzchak, and he wasn't the son of Avimelech, who was with Sarah. But that's the lowest pshat. The deeper meaning of Drash, Soid, Remez is that Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Din, and Chesed must breed Din. Chesed, unlimited love, has to have discipline of Pachad Yitzchak, because without that there is no love. Love without discipline, without restriction, without limit. Love without limits is not love. Avram is love, Yitzchak is limits. If you want to put it in that, it's a good way to put it. Love and limit. Love without limits is no good. Light without limits blinds you. Heat without limits burns you. It cannot be. Too much sugar, you'll get diabetes. Sugar is great. I love you, here's some more sugar. Hey, here's some more candy. You love your kid. I love you so much, here's some more cholesterol. I love you. That's crazy. Love without limit is not love. And limit without love is also no good. If you limit, you'll choke somebody.
You need both, with one better than the other.
What?
You need both.
You absolutely need both. Exactly one. No, and then you have to balance them. So I'm gonna make a leap over here. I'm gonna make a quantum leap, and I'm gonna jump for a second. I it's so beautiful, the tie-in between this week's Morei Nayim and the Kedushas Levi, because the Kedushas Levi says Nayim to Parsha. It's such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful tie-in. Zog the Hele Kedushas Levi, Mamash is the tie-in to what we're saying. He says, the pasuk doesn't make sense. The Hele tells Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham hoylid es Yitzchak. Now you see, the great Chassidish Rebbe knew Dikduk too. And the Rebbe says, Alpi Dikduk, Did you say Avraham Yolad es Yitzchak? Avraham Yolad, give birth is Yolad. Holid is not the right word. Holid is Lashon Hifil. Now, of course, you all had good Digduk education. I'm sure you all went to wonderful school, taught you good Jewish grammar. And Holid means, what Holid really means, Hifil means, Shep, Holid Lashon Hifil, Shemashmo, Shepulas Avram Hoysop, Sheyitzak Yachala Holid. You hear what he's saying? Hifil means, Avram Holid means, that Avram helped Yitzak give birth. Laholid, like the Miyalvos, Holidu. A Miyaledes, Holidu means, if it says that Yocheved was Moiled some lady, Yocheved was Moiled as Elisheva, let's say, it doesn't mean she gave birth to Elisheva, it means she helped Elisheva give birth. So Avram Holidu says it means that Avram helped Yitzchak give birth. Not he gave birth to Yitzchak, he was Holid, Hif'il, he got Yitzchak into the later process. That's what it means. So what does that mean? Zoptik Gavaltik. What was saying? Because Avram is Chesed, and Yitzchak is Din. Avram is Love, and Yitzchak is Limit. And each one is equally important. But each one itself, even Avram and Yitzchak is not good enough. You have to have Yankiv. You have to have Tetzeres, Nemes. And Yankiv is balance. Yankiv was the perfect balance between Love and Limit. Each one, Avram and Yitzchak, didn't have it 100% straight yet. Avram had too much love, and he gave birth to a Yishmael, who is love without limits. He's love loose. And Yitzchak had too much discipline and too much limit. And he had something like Esav, who is law and order, and bloodshed, and murder, and discipline. Roman law, too much tight, too tough. And Yankiv is perfection. Yankiv is the perfect balance. So Avram, Hoylid is Yitzchak. Because there's not Avram, and Avram's chesed needs a limit of Yitzchak, but he did not only did he give birth to Yitzchak, he caused the Yitzchak to give birth to a Yankiv who will perfect the whole system. You hear pshat? It's Mamash Emes. It's not Berkel, it's an Emes of pshat. Shepulis Avram Hoysesh Yitzchak Yagla Hoylet. Because the pshat is that Yankiv is Teferes, and he's Amudah Dem Tisa, as I state in Zoyer, call him, he trained me this chesed the Gvura, and that's the pshat. Eila tells Yitzchak ben Avram, because Yitzchak is ben Avraham, and because love has to have a limit, so therefore he had to be moiled as Yitzchak, that we have the perfection, limitation, love, which is Yankiv. As always, beautiful. Now I'll tell you even better. Then he says, Nachashtikl. Zog the Gedush Levi. How come the Torah Akdoisha tells us a lot about Yitzchak getting married to? We know a lot about Yitzchak's marriage. And we know even more about Yankiv's marriage. Next week's parasha is Yankiv's marriage is big. Yankiv, Leah, Rachel, the party, what's going on? We learn all Sheva brachos from Yankiv. We learn so many halachas about marriage from Yankiv and Leah and Rachel. Big stuff. And Yitzchak, we know a little bit how you get married to, we know the whole story, how he gets married to Rivka. And you know what? There's nothing about Avram marrying Sarah. There's nothing about the chasna. You didn't get an invitation to the chasna even. You said, I don't feel bad. No one got an invitation. Even you didn't get an invitation to the chasna. No one's invited. We can design. Zog the Levi. Because a chasna is something permanent. Listen, you're supposed to get married permanently, by the way. You know, one marriage, one wife. It's a permanent thing, man. It's not like, you know, renewing the license once a year and, you know, try it out. Marriage is for good. For better, for worse, you know, for good. What? No prenuptials, no tznoyim, and then no marriage al tznai. Zok there, marriage locks in people. Now, Avram Avsar, by the way, had the greatest marriage in history, by the way, but derech agav. If you want, this is not so well known, but the morale implies that the best marriage in history was Avram Avsar, by the way, but that's another subject. Zok the Kedushas lady, Avram and Sarah, when they died, were not the same people they were when they got married. They're totally different people. V'haraya, Avram's name is changed to Avraham, and Sarai's name is changed to Sarah. So the marriage, Mekaradina, wasn't a permanent thing. You heard it. Because, why? It's a maridik. Zogdish Levi, because Avram is Chesed. And Chesed, by definition, is no limits. It's expanding. So therefore, Avram, by definition, had change. Avram had to grow. He had to grow. Real chesed makes you a different person. Last week, now remember, John, we discussed last week, some of you weren't here, we discussed why Avram is Zokim Baba Yama. Zokim doesn't mean old, Zokim means beard. Because the Zohar Kaddish calls Yud Gimel Yisarachmim, the Yud Gimel Tekuni Dikna. That the Yud Gimel Yisarachmim of the 13 attributes of mercy and love and chesed are compared to the 13 strands of a beard. And we said why? Because that's exactly the word. Because chesed is expansion. And the expansion of a man is his beard and his payas. He expands. Not the hair in the head. The difference was the hair in your face. The hair in the head is the opposite. The hair in the head is the shave. Get rid of it. And the hair in your beard is supposed to let grow. Because the hair, the beard represents the covering of your tzel melekim, the face of your tzel melekim. And the tzel melekim is supposed to grow. How do you get tzel melekim grow? Because Hashem is chesed. And we expand our tzel melekim by doing chesed, we expand the tzel melekim. And the physical representation of that is the growth of the beard. Remember, that was last week's Morning Nayim. That's why the beard is called Hador, right? Hadar to Bnei Zokeng. But they say we're talking about Hadar to Bnei Zokeng. Hador means splendor. Hador means beauty. The beauty of a person is his beard. Why? Because the beauty of life is to enhance the beauty of Hashem. Hashem is Chesed. He created the world for Chesed. When we do acts of Chesed, we enhance their Bashtom. And Meredith, that was a shmooze for last week. Oh, so it says because they had the Kedusha Levi. Avram and Sarah, we don't know, but we can't speak about their marriage. Because the marriage really was, it was obsolete, you might say. The original marriage was the Nishdah, the new people, they're born again. They renewed their vows when they became Avram and Sarah. It's like a new marriage, not a joke. It's like it was a new marriage. But Yitzchak, he says, is Midas HaDin. Din is limitation. So by definition, he says limit. Yitzchak is limitation. And actually, flipping back to the Morinayim says that's the reason why the last Nisayin of Avram is Akedas Yitzchak. Because Akedah means to tie up Yitzchak. He was really tightly tied. Which means to say that the ultimate test of Avram was whether he could do something totally against his nature. It's not stop killing Yitzchak. It was going against the nature of Chesed of Avram, and therefore the symbolism of the whole Nisayin is tying up Yitzchak. Meaning that Avram, who is love unlimited, suddenly becomes a tire-upper and a knotter of knots and a man who locks people in. Hey, this is not you, Avram. You're supposed to be the man of expansiveness, of growth, of love, unbridled love. Well, that went out with Yishmael. He's the Ahav and the Fula, as we said earlier. Yishmael's the Ahav and the Fula, the unlimited love, which becomes Nus. But the highest madrega of Avram was when he tied into Yitzchak, by tying up Yitzchak, he tied into Yitzchak, he himself got a shmek. Avram got a little taste of what it means to be a Yitzchak by tying up Yitzchak. So the tenth Nisayim was not Stam Nisayim. It was where Avram, we have the segue, we have the interface between Avram and Yitzchak, between Chesed and Din. The Avram Holidus Yitzchak. That's what the Morinayim said. But getting back over here, listen to this. So getting back to the Kedushas Levi. So the Lashon Zazoy. He says, Ma Nishtana Shem Avram Asar V'loy Shem Yitzchak. Why talk about the best Akasha? This is Avram's name has changed. Sarah's name has changed. Yitzchak's name never changed. Rivka's name never changed. Yaakov gets a new name, but it's not changed. Because the new name becomes Yisrael, but the old name is Yaakov is not dropped. Yaakov's not dropped. And you're allowed to call Yaakov still. Sometimes it's called Yaakov, sometimes it's called Yisrael. So we have three different cases here. Avram's first name is gone. Avram's name has changed forever. Yitzchak's name has not changed at all. Yaakov's name has changed, but not totally. It's changed, but it's still the old name is still remains. Why? Because he said, it's because Avram Avinu is on Metzias' change. Avram Avinu is chesed, which means growth. Just like a man with a beard and that beard is a different person. You look different. It's chesim azokim. Avram is a new person. Yisar is a new person. New name. Old name is gone. Yitzchak, he's the same person all the time. He's locked in. He's limit. If anything, his limits got stronger. So Yitzchak never loses his identity. He doesn't. His idea is not expansion. His idea is restriction. And to stay yourself, so to speak. Don't change. So Yitzchak never changes. But Yankiv is the mizug of both. Yankiv, so therefore he has a change, but not a permanent change. Isn't that gewaltic? He has a change, but not a permanent change. He has a change because he has a little of Avram in himself. The chesed na Yankev requires change. Means he's growing. Yankev has to grow into a new name, just like Zayd Avram grew into a new name, because Avram is chesed. Chesed changes. Chesed grows. On the other hand, he's also Yitzchak. And Yitzchak never changes. So therefore, Yankev remains also. So he shows his new name. He has a new name. He grew into a new name. But the old name stays. And that. So this mamish is a reflection of Yankov's role as being a mixture of Avram and Yitzchak and being the perfect balance. And sometimes he's Yankov, sometimes he's Yisrael. Isn't that merdik? Isn't that awesome? It's gavaltik. You should go to Tensel, Arikot, Simcha, drink a l'chaim. My goodness. You hear? Because Yankov is a spashtus v'tzimtzum. Azoi shtek to his lady. He's a spashtus v'tzimtzum. Merdik. He's uferatza yom v'kedna. Yankov's feratza. Spread out. Every direction of Haratzda, right? And he's also Tzimtzum, he's Yitzchak too. So Mitzad Midas HaChesed, his name had changed. But Mitzad Midas HaYitzchak has to have Tzimtzum. And his name couldn't change. So that's why the whole name stays. It's Gevaltik. It's Gevaltik. Mamash Gevaltik. So that's the Kedushas Levi component. That's the point. So fuck yeah, Yankov is really Shaduchim. So Avraham Avinu, we don't talk about his marriage because he changed. Yitzchak, we talk about his marriage because he didn't change. And he's the same person, he's always married to Rivka. And Yankov, you talk a lot about it because Yankov has changed, because Yankov doesn't change too. He changes, but he doesn't change. So we mention his marriages, we can mention his marriages, and he changes wives, you might say. Because Yankov is the person who changes and stays the same. He has both aspects. So he has, he gets married to Leah, but then changes to Rachel. Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah. So he's changing, he has different wives, but on the other hand, he's the same person, so he can mention his marriages, because marriage is staying the same. He stays the same, but he's changing. So we can have the marriages with him. And interesting, I just want a little footnote to this. This is, I think, a little germane. So he says, by the way, but I'm just gonna, I'll first give me a footnote, let me tell you what the Kedushas Levi, what the Moranayim, let me include the Moranayim. So he says, you should know that there's a little bit of Yankov and Esav in every one of us. That's like the worthwhile hearing this tonight. Little Esav even inside you and me. Little Yankov and Esav inside every one of us. The good is called Yankov and the bad is called Esav. A little bit of that in everybody. And we have to know how to limit the Esav. Okay, well, I'll conclude with this and I'll tell you my little Nakuda. So the Moranayim here goes on a long Arichas explaining that, another classic Moranayim, the Kabbalah, that we know in Kabbalah there's two kinds of light. There's Or HaYashar and Or HaChozer. There's direct light and the reflected light, bounce back light, Or HaChozer. So he says Or HaYashar is the unlimited light. And limited light is called Or HaChozer. You have to have both again. In Kabbalah is a big inyan. Or HaYashar and Or HaChozer. I remember once I went to the Square Rebbe, I was asking him to explain this to me. He gave me an explanation. I wrote it down. I didn't get a chance to look at it. He explained to me a little deeper what this means, Or HaChozer and Or HaYashar. But Or HaYashar, Or HaChozer. But Pashit is Or HaYashar is without Tzimtzum. Straight light means straight, unadulterated, unmitigated, unconstricted, unrestricted light. And Or HaChozer is the light that hits a barrier and bounces back. That's by definition light with a limit. It hit the limit, it hit the mirror, and it bounces back. The sun's light hit the moon and bounces off the moon. It hits something. That's limited light. And you have to have both. So he says, the word in the Hebrew that most appropriately describes limitation of light is the word bayis, a house. Because a house has walls and a roof. A house, by definition, is a cubicle or something of that sort, some geometric shape which is enclosed. It's an enclosure. And that's why the Torah starts with the Beis of Bereishis. The Torah starts with Beis to teach you that the tachlis of this world is that the light has to have a tzimtzum. This world is a bias for Hashem's light. There's the Or HaYashar. Bereishis Baruch Hu Kim Shamayim V'Arets. And the first thing Hashem said to be He Or. There should be light. But before he can say he or, that would be a bias for the light to go into. So it starts, and therefore in Kabbalah, Yira, which is fear, Yira, fear means I live in myself. Without fear, I would be unlimited. I would, I would be so eager and take people's money that I wouldn't just take it honestly, I'd take it dishonestly. I would love people kosher or not kosher. I'd eat kosher or not kosher. So limits is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim means I limit myself. I hold myself back. I discipline myself. So that is Yer as a bias. And he says, that's why, of course, you have to have Yer as chetai kodemas l'chachmasai. Torah, chachmas, not Torah without Yerushalayim is also dangerous because you want big balgaiva from that. You know a lot of Torah, just the opposite. People know a lot, but without Yerushalayim, they're dangerous. And that's the Torah, that's why the Torah can be a Sama Moves. Torah can be a Sama Chaim. It can be an elixir of life, elixir of death. Torah without Yerushalayim is a dangerous person. And it uses Torah for profit, and for gain, and for gaiva, and for hurting other people, and shaloi l'shma, and all kinds of terrible things. So the Rabbi Shalom, you have to have Yerusha Kadem Zachachma, so you have to have the bias before you have the light. So he says, that's Pshat and the Gemara and Shabbos. The Pshat and the Gemara and Shabbos of Lamed Aleph. The Gemara says, Chaval, Adeles Le Darta, woe on the person who has no Dira, he has no house, Vitara Le Darta of it, but he has a door to the house. A Chaval, a person, he has no house, he builds a door. What's the tachas of a door without a house? Dalia, doesn't make sense, huh? Build a door without a house. Chaval, a person who has no house, he makes it, built the door. That's a shein azach, it's a door. He puts up four doors. No house, doors. What's the tachas of a door without a house? So the Gemara says that that's referring to a tire without Yerushalayim. That's exactly what the Gemara says. That the Yerush, Chaval, a person who learns by a tire, which is the doorway to Shemayim, but he has the house in Shemayim. He has nothing there. It's very nice. He has a doorway, he has a lot of Torah, but there's no house for him. Without Yerushalayim, there's nothing to hold the Torah. The Torah just dissipates into nothingness. That's the pshat. Yerushalayim is the darta, Yerushalayim is the dira. Chaval, a person builds a door, because Torah is like a doorway, open up. Torah is yara yasher. Torah is breitkai. Torah is, whoa, hasagas, my mind is flying all over the place. But without Yerushalayim, it just will go, no, it will go all over, but nowhere. It'll just disappear. Because no Yerushalayim told him, you have to have a tzimtzum. You have to have a bias. Bias is Yira. He says, that's the pshat. L'kach nistava Avram Avinu, Allah v'shom ha'akeda, who lashon is kashrus. Akeda lashon is kashrus. It's kesher. Akeda means to tie up, kesher. To teach you that he had to be moir himself in the midah of pachad Yitzchak. There's Dafki here by the Akedah, where he was tying up Yitzchak, he became like Yitzchak. He became a shtick Yitzchak. So, the Nakuda I just wanted to share with you to end this all off. Again, of course, there's much more here. Everybody says, endless. This is the Mori Naim is Ora Yosher, and I can only give it to you by Ora Chayzer. I can only give it to you with a big Tzimtzum. But the Nakuda I want to end off with is, listen to this. So, the Vort is Azoy. I have to recap a little longer Vort to give you this Azoy. In the end of last week's Parsha, we have a strange thing. When Rivka is being brought to Yitzchak, it says in the Torah that she meets Yitzchak, the Yitz Yitzchak Lasua Basada, and where is he coming from? Mibo Mibo La Be'er Lachai Ro'i. He's coming from the well called Lachai Ro'i. I saw the living God, the living angels. What's Be'er Lachai Ro'i? Everybody knows, it says earlier in the Parshas Vayera, that's where Hagar met the Malach, and that's where the Malach told her, that's what the Malach said, she's going to have a son like Yishmael. Four angels came to Hagar in Lech Lecha, telling her that she is going to have a son, Yishmael. And she called this place Be'er Lachai Ro'i. In Parshas Lech Lecha Perek Tes Zion. Vatikra Shem Adonai Hadoivre Lea Ato El Ro'i, Kiamra Agam Halom Ro'i Siachar Ro'i, Alken Karola Be'er Be'er Lachai Ro'i. She called the name of this well. And now, that's Lech Lecha. Now in Chayisara, Yitzchak is there. What in the world is Yitzchak doing in Be'er Lachai Ro'i? Which Ramban says became a big Arab shrine, because that's where Arab starts. Arabia, Yishmael starts in Be'er Lachai Ro'i, that's Yishmael guy's name. Says Ramban, says Rashi, because Yitzchak at this moment had just gone to fetch Hagar to bring her to marry Avram. Wow! That is very strange. That's strange. He's bringing Hagar to marry Avram. Now, This is just 3 years after his beloved mother, Sarah, dies. Sarah throws Hagar out with Yishmael and doesn't want anything to do with her. And suddenly Yitzhak's bringing her back home. What's going on over here? His own mother, the mama is just a few years dead, and he's bringing back for his father, who? Hagar. His mother's arch enemy, arch rival. Like his mother said, get her out of here. For Avram's sake, for hers, and for Yitzhak's sake, to protect Yitzhak from Yishmael. Because wherever Hagar goes, Yishmael goes. And suddenly, mit Baruch Haba, Yitzhak's bringing her back. Strange. And punkt at the moment when Yitzhak's bringing her back, that's when Rivka meets up with him. Punkt then. Then it says, the next pasuk, it says, weiter, that, v'yosef Ram v'yikach ish shmo keturah. It says, Taki took a woman, after the story of Rivka is over, look at the wife, doesn't go to Hagar. Who is keturah? Says Rashi, Zu Hagar. This is Hagar. V'nikris keturah al-shem shenoy maaseh keturah. She's called keturah from Lashon keturah as fragrance, incense. Her ways were sweet as keturah. V'shekashra pischa, and she tied up her pesach, she tied herself up so that no man could have any relation with her. You should know, she was sneas, and although Hagar is the mother of Yishmael, and Yishmael is free love, and so Hagar probably is also free love. No, she was keturah, Lashon Kesher. She tied up herself that no man should enter her, and she didn't mechal herself. Then it says, the end of the parasha Hazoi, that Avram dies, and after Avram dies, it says in the Torah, "Vayikruoisa Yitzhak Yishmael Banov Morza Pela." Says Rashi, "Huh? Yitzhak's 13 years younger than Yishmael. How come Yitzhak goes first?" Not only that, they weren't too good friends. Says Rashi, no problem. Yitzhak had no problem Yishmael now, because Yishmael did tshuva. And therefore Yishmael did tshuva, he knew Yitzhak's better than him, he put him first. How did Yishmael do tshuva? Who made him about tshuva? Isha Torah? Or Sameach? Arachim? Gateways? Shuvu? Who suddenly made Yishmael do about tshuva? How does this bum, this rotten apple, suddenly become about tshuva? And then, It says in the Torah, "Vayiach Rimos Avram Vayarch Lemos Yitzchak Benoi, Vayeshev Yitzchak Imber Lachayroi." Yitzchak, where does he sit? Where does he live now after Avram dies? Not in Chevron, not Yerushalayim, but in Ber Lachayroi. Ber Lachayroi is Hagar Yishmael territory, deep into Arabia. Why is he living in Ber Lachayroi? He went there to fetch Hagar. What's he living there for now? And the Ramban says he liked Ber Lachayroi because it's a good place to daven. Because angels came there once. Now, he wants a good place to daven. Let him go to Har Maria to daven. He had an angel himself in Har Maria. He had the biggest revelation in Har Maria. Har Maria is the holiest place without him. But Lamaiz had the biggest chus in the world. Like, he had the angels at Dav Gain to the Arabia, to the Hugger's place, to her Shtiebel mosque. He had to go to, this is a Shtiebel. Let him go to the big shul in Har Maria. What's the gate to? So the Torah says, "Bekitzur, Rabbi," said, just make it very short, is that Yitzchak was really doing his mother Sarah a big favor. Yitzchak knew that his mother and his father had one big chait that had to be fixed up. And that was, the Ramban says in Parshas Leitecha, that Sarah was very angry at Hagar. And Avram says to do what you want with her, keep her, do what you want with her. And Sarah says, good, thank you very much for Rishus, I like it. And therefore, it says, "Vayomer Avram Sarah neishiv chasev biyodeich asilah atayv lo katayv beinayach v'atanea Sarai v'ativrach mivnea." And Sarah tortures her and she runs away. Says the Ramban, "Chait chata Sarah v'anoisa es Hagar." Sarah did a great avera by torturing Hagar, and Avram did the same avera for letting it happen. He allowed it to happen. He didn't protest. And for this reason, says Ramban, the Jewish people suffer from the Arabs to this day, because we made the Arab, the mother, mama, the grace of mama from the Arabs, Hagar suffer, and therefore we suffer from the Arabs to this very day. Quite prophetic. So Lamaisa, Sarah never fixed that up. And Yitzhak knew that Sarah and Avram weren't required to do this, because that's exactly the point. Avram was very good at doing favors. Avram was great at giving, love. But Avram is not good for limits. Sorry, Atayin, Avram. Why don't you limit Hagar and tell her that she shouldn't be such a big shot? Hagar thinks she's the boss. She got pregnant right away. She thinks she's me. That's what it says in the puzzle. Sarah went down her eye. He says, you know what? I'm more chashuv than you, Sarah. Avram, will you please discipline her? I'm angry at you. You're not disciplining her. Avram says, I don't know how to do discipline. I'm very good at doing favors. I'm very good at love. I'm very good at charity. I'm very good at serving breakfast and lunches and suppers, washing people's feet. I'm great at this stuff. Discipline. Feistisht. How do you discipline properly? So the discipline wasn't given. So what happens, you don't know. You go all the way too far. And instead of Avram and Sarah just giving appropriate discipline to Hagar and say, hey, know your place, take it easy, you're not me, you're not my wife, you're just a concubine, you're just a pelegish. Instead they go, boom, and they're torturing her. Torah calls it inui. Because they didn't know discipline is not their thing. Their thing is chesed, not discipline, not limit. Theirs is love. So therefore Yitzchak Davka, who was limitation, he felt that his tikkun, he had to do it for his parents, that since the whole tachlis of Midas Hayira, the whole tachlis of Gvura, the whole tachlis of Din is to put limitations on love and to adjust the love, although the perfect adjustment doesn't come to Yankiv, but something starts with Yitzchak. So therefore Yitzchak finds it as his great goal in life to bring back Hagar and says, Hagar, you know, come back, but on the right terms, as a Pelegish. Come back, not a wife. And that's why the Torah made it that Davka, the minute he brings her back, who comes along? Rivka. And what it says in the pasuk, the minute he meets Rivka, it says, "Va'yikach as Rivka v'dilu liisha v'yaveh v'yinachim Yitzchak rei sarimai." And it says, "Va'yaveh eloi ha'ala sarimai." In other words, he can only bring back Hagar if she knows her limits. She's not Sarah. She's not Avram's full wife. So the Bajla made it that the minute he's going to Be'er Lachayri to bring back Hagar, who appears in the scene? Rivka. And what's Rivka? She's the replacement for Sarah. She's a full-fledged mother, not Hagar. So the Bajla made Davka, that when he brings back Hagar, Rivka shows up and she goes to Ohela, she goes in Sarah's tent, not Hagar. And that's why Yitzchak has to spend so much time in Be'er Lachayri, because his taklus was to Makarev, the Arabs that he had the Merachik. So who made Yishmael Bal Tshuva? Yitzchak. So if you want to know who the first outreach professional was, it wasn't Ar Sameach, it wasn't Eishet Torah, it wasn't Arachim, it was Yitzchak Avinu. He reached out to Hagar, and by the way, Hagar and Gematria is 208, and Yitzchak and Gematria is 208. Right? Yitzchak is 208, and Hagar is 208. But I said some of this story on Shalosh Shuras already, but the Chiddush I just saw today is that's why now Hagar has a new name, Keturah. And Raja Zashin Keturah, she's tied up. She tied herself up. That was part of the Hashpah of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is Akeda. Yitzchak is limitation. Yitzchak is restrictions. Yitzchak is tying yourself up. Limits. That's why her name now has changed to Hagar, to Keturah. While she was Hagar, she had no limits. Oh, Avram loves me, doesn't love Sarah, I'm the bang wife over here, get out of here, Sarah. Sarah says, Avram, come and see Allah, what's going on? Can't you put this lady in her place? I don't know what to do. You do what you want, Zara. You do what you want. Mama should cop out. Do what you want. And Zara goes, she doesn't, for sure, doesn't know what to do. She's angry. Boom. She tortures her. Her calls a torture. I'm sure it was, she didn't whip her. Me say she verbally abused her, or tongue lashed her, or something, which, according to my Drake, if a state of torture doesn't mean that she beat her up. It means she did not treat her properly and gave her pain. I know it's Zara. And Avram didn't protest. Because this is not their Indian limitation. But Yitzchak went back with Hagar and says, we're taking you back, I'm going to ask you, get your act, tie yourself up, know who you are, you're just a Pelegesh. And once he was Makar of Hagar, for state, so he's Makar of Ishmael. Because the mother and the son, they go together, it's a package deal. And even after he brings back Hagar, the new name Keturah, the tied up one, the limited, right? No gaps, just the limited. And now, he goes back to Be'er Lachayri because he has more tikkun to make. It's not finished, right? So the tikkun is not finished. And he has to go back to this place. Edaf epistan noch tikkunim in this place. But that's Yitzchak brings back to him. Okay, Rabbi, so I will conclude with that. And have a good Shabbos. Zayge Ben.